Are you one of the many couples who began your relationship in what we call the high octane or honeymoon stage, but now life has you wondering, where did all that love and connection go?
Hey, if this sounds like part of your current story, welcome to the Red Truck Marriage Podcast. We want to help you experience God's best in marriage, a relationship that is stronger, deeper, and more exciting than ever before.
So meet my wife and co-host, Stuart Anderson.
And he's my husband and co-host, Dr. David Anderson.
It's time for you to become the heroes of your marriage story. So let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Red Truck Marriage Podcast.
Thanks for joining us today. We have a great episode for you. The title of the episode today is Stop the Bus, How to Avoid Destructive Communication. I believe this episode is going to speak directly to anyone who is listening. And I say anyone because we have all been involved in a conversation that leaves one another feeling hurt or more disconnected or completely misunderstood.
That is exactly right. And, you know, I have to believe that our listeners are thinking, stop the bus. Like, you know, what does that mean? Listen, folks, you know, we've all had conversations with our spouse, like where we thought later, man, I wish I hadn't have said that, you know, or I wish I could take back those words.
Oh, yeah. So today we're going to give you a tool that will help you avoid that kind of destruction in your marriage. That is, if you want to avoid the hurt your words can create for your wife or your husband. And I say if because this tool will only bear fruit in your marriage if you decide that hurtful words don't serve you or your spouse well.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I want to tell you folks a quick story about a time when I was in elementary school. It was just not that long ago, really. But it's the type of experience I know we all have in our story growing up. But for me, I was in elementary school. I was in second grade. And I remember it was like a beautiful afternoon, you know, it was a little bit warm. And, but, you know, kids, the bell rang and kids were running out to the bus that was, or the buses that were all lined up in front of the school.
Is this Williamsburg?
Yes, it was in Williamsburg. That's where I grew up. And Magruder Elementary School where is where I went. And I remember the bell ringing and I come out of the building and, you know, the scene, kids are going all different directions and whatnot. And I hopped on the bus. And I sat down in my seat, and then, you know, gosh, things started happening a little bit. I'm just sitting there, and I'm going to tell you a few other little details in a moment, but I can remember the bus driver, you know, cranking up the bus, and all, you know, the line of buses start to move,
right?
And I'm on my way home. So we're driving. And then all of a sudden, the bus takes a turn that I wasn't familiar with, right? And I'm looking around, didn't really say anything. And then it hit me like, oh my goodness, I am on the wrong bus.
Oh no.
Like, and here's the deal, folks. Like, I didn't pay attention to the cues. Eventually, I knew I was heading somewhere I didn't want to go, right? And, you know, I stopped the bus before it took me to the point of no return. But, like, clearly, like, my anxiety went so high as this little second grader. It was crazy.
You know, I like where you're going with this story. Let's talk about those 3 points you just made, but put them in the context of a marriage. You said you didn't pay attention to the cues. What do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, looking back at it, I had something going on in my gut, like in my spirit, my discernment, even as a little kid, that things weren't right. But Stuart, I ignored it.
Like what? What wasn't right?
Well, for one thing, the bus driver wasn't my bus driver, like okay. the person that I just remember like seeing every morning and every afternoon. Like it wasn't the right person driving the bus, right? The other cue was that the kids getting on the bus, they didn't live in my neighborhood.
Right? David.
Like, what was I thinking? You know, these folks are hopping on this bus and like, I don't know that person. I don't know that person. They certainly don't live near me. Mm-hmm. And then watch this. Then I remember this really old kid that hopped onto the bus. I'm talking, he was like fourth grade.
Big guy.
Right. He was a big guy. And he told me to get out of his seat. Right. And listen, I was in the seat that I'd always sat in. Right. But this guy's making me get out of it.
All right. Now, let me get this straight. None of those things tipped you off.
No, I was completely oblivious to the cues. Right.
Right. Right. So in the context of marriage, many times the cues are there, but we ignore them. Our emotions start escalating, or my spouse's emotions start escalating. I can completely see this and relate it to your story. We just don't pay attention.
Exactly. And you know what? These are the things to pay attention to. Mm. The cues, right? So we can stop the bus, right?
Right.
Or that conversation that is going down the wrong road, that road of destruction.
Oh, that is so great. So everyone listening, we want you to stick around to the end because we're going to give you a tool that will totally help you stop that bus and stop the conversation. But well, when did it finally register that you had gotten on the wrong bus?
See, that this is the essential question to me of the whole podcast, right? How deep into a conversation do we have to go before we realize we're heading down the wrong road with our spouse?
Okay, now jump back to the bus. So when did you realize you were on the wrong bus?
All right, so you want to keep bringing me back right to that knucklehead,
right?
You know, David in second grade. You know, listen, it was when the bus turned right instead of left, right?
Yeah.
It was at that point when I yelled, "Stop the bus." Listen, fortunately, I stopped the bus before there was too much destruction, right? The bus turned right and drove behind the school, right? My bus always turned left and it drove in front of the school, right?
I bet you were panicking.
I was so panicked. Like, I was tripping out. You would have thought, like, we were three states,
right,
you know, away from my home. Right. But the driver, here's what happened. He let me out at the back door of the school, and I simply walked to the office and made what I call the phone call of shame, right, to my mom, which is another whole story.
Oh, goodness. So let's talk about this as it relates to communication and marriage. You know, so often, like you said, we miss the cues that a conversation is heading to destruction, and we all end up hurt, disconnected, and resentful. Yes.
That's exactly right.
So now we have to pick up all the pieces when that happens.
Yes. Most of our destructive arguments can be avoided if we simply pick up on the cues, right? And then decide this direction we're heading in is not where we want to go. And definitely, like, not where I want to go.
Right. And you're describing a very hard moment in the midst of an emotional conversation. You know, in some ways, this is at the core of emotional IQ. It's being that person who takes charge of their emotions and choosing to notice another person's emotional cues and then acting on it.
No question. It really, really is. Listen, couples who cultivate this emotional IQ, they find themselves experiencing that destructive dance, if you will, way less often, right? And they're able then to have conflict or disagreement without hurting the other. So this emotional IQ is really a place of understanding what are the emotions going on in my mind or in my heart, and what I see the cues are for your emotions, right?
This is such a good point. The goal is not to avoid conflict. because good can frequently come from conflict. Mm-hmm. But the goal is to avoid the hurt that comes from destructive or highly emotional conversations that we all have.
I really agree with that. And, you know, I'd be interested to hear you say more about this good that comes from conflict. What do you mean by that?
Well, let me put it this way. You know, we often talk about how growth almost always comes from pain. Mm-hmm. I think this is where change really happens. We can learn resiliency in those difficult moments. And by resiliency, I mean we come out of the hard conversation stronger, with more understanding and compassion to do something different than what we've done before. Mm-hmm. In fact, this tool we're going to give our listeners today comes out of our own conflict, doesn't it?
It does. And I love what you're saying about resiliency. You know, we often think of resiliency as like being in the storm, right? As though like a tree. When the wind blows hard and the tree, if it's resilient, you know, it'll bend, but it doesn't break, right?
Mm-hmm.
But resiliency is so much bigger than that. And that's why I like what you just said about that. It's like the storm blows, like we get in conflict or this hardship, and it's more than just bouncing back. In fact, you know, I've said this before many, many times. Listen, we can't go back to anything, right? You can't go back to what you had for lunch today or breakfast this morning, mm-hmm. right? We can't go back to something, but we can grow through it.
Yeah,
right?
And grow forward. That's what I was describing,
exactly.
Was realizing the moment when you can grow through and change habits that you and your spouse have always had in conversations, difficult ones.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, that brings me to like this tool, right? Mm-hmm. We call this tool, and I really want you folks to listen up on this because I believe it's going to help you not stay on that bus, so to speak, going in the wrong direction in
right.
conversation. Right. But instead, like stop the bus where there's not so much destruction. And Stuart and I call this the stop phrase. And I'll never forget, like early on in our marriage, you know, we noticed like we were hopping on the wrong bus in conversation so often. And it was hurtful,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we were saying things we didn't mean or want to say to one another. And it really hurt, I think, our relationship
right.
many days. So I remember one time saying to Stuart, you know, I know, Stuart, you would agree with this. Like, we can't keep doing this, right? We can't create a habit of having destructive conversation. And so we came up with this idea, and we want to share this with you today and hope that you will take it. We call it the stop phrase, right? So basically, what we came up with is that when one of us noticed, because we were in a good, high emotional IQ at the time, if you will, if one of us noticed like this conversation is going in the wrong direction,
mm-hmm.
right, where emotions are escalating,
right,
we would simply declare a stop, right? And we used a phrase that both of us came up with. Stuart and I, years ago, went to a really cool marriage conference called Love and Respect. And
it's from the book written by Emerson Eggerichs.
Exactly.
Love and Respect. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I totally recommend that read.
Mm-hmm.
It really is some good stuff. But I love that phrase, love and respect. You know, it comes straight out of the scriptures where, you know, God encourages wives to respect their husbands, and then he encourages husbands to love their wives, right?
Right.
So I love that phrase, love and respect. So that was our stop phrase, right? Where we basically, if we felt or discerned that one another, that we were escalating, that if somebody said love and respect, that meant stop. Like mm-hmm. in the middle of the sentence, we stop. And that was really, really important for us to do. Like if the phrase came out, we would stop.
Well, let me be clear. You don't have to shout the stop phrase. You can use a calm voice. But when one of us did that, said love and respect with a calm, strong voice, it was a sacred signal to us that we would stop the bus, so to speak, and exactly. not keep going down that path.
And let me say one other thing about that. Like when Stuart and I would say love and respect, and the commitment was to stop, right there in the tracks. You know, folks, I really mean this. I can't think of less than five times in the course of our marriage where one of us, when we declared love and respect, would keep going. Mm-hmm. And that is really, really important. Like we really made this a commitment. Like it would be a major violation if we were in a conversation and Stuart said love and respect and I kept going. Like she would look at me like, are you kidding me? Like this is a huge commitment. This is like one of those sacred right. commitments
right.
that we're not gonna violate.
Right.
And I don't believe that the stop phrase would work without that kind of commitment.
You're right. And then there's more to this process. It's not just saying the stop phrase and walking away. You want to explain the rest?
Yeah. Thank you. So, you know, if let's say I say to Stuart, love and respect, which means stop, but I add to that love and respect, I'm going to walk out to the mailbox. I'll be back, right? Or love and respect, I'm going to go into the kitchen and pour a glass of water. I'll be back. Or if for those of you with children, you may say, you know, love and respect, let's get back to this once we get the kids down tonight.
Right. Now, what I usually say, because my processing time might be a little bit longer than David's, and I might say, love and respect, let's take this up again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need more time, and that's fair.
Yes.
That is fair.
That's a great point, Stuart. And, you know, for those of you that like to, you know, like wrap it up in a package and you know, like bring closure and move on like I do, right? Like that may drive you nuts to hear your spouse say, love and respect, you know, let's pick up on this again tomorrow, mm-hmm. right? But Stuart's exactly right. You know, some of us need more time to process
right.
than others.
Right. And then there's another point to the process is that you can't abuse this stop phrase. Talk about that.
Oh, you want me to talk yeah. about that? All right. So what does Stuart mean, abuse the stop phrase? See, here's what we're not saying. You're not allowed to use the stop phrase as a way to avoid conversation, right?
Right.
So let's say Stuart brings up something. I can't just say, oh, no, love and respect, and walk away. Like, that doesn't work, all right? This isn't for the purpose of avoiding, because right. we've already said, like, good conversation, which can be conflictual, right? That can bring great change in our lives. Like you folks have heard us say this many times, that really no true growth takes place outside of conflict or hardship, right? So this stop phrase is not for the purpose of avoiding things right. you don't want to talk about.
It's just avoiding the hurtful steps that we get to in a conversation without thinking of each other.
Exactly. So like when I say love and respect, I'm going to walk out to the mailbox. You know, for some of us, that's really all we need to kind of de-escalate, right? Just a 3-minute walk. I go to the mailbox and I come back, kind of take a breath, and I'm back in a space where I am now communicating without so much emotion, right? I've de-escalated.
Listen, this has helped us so much, and we know that it can help you from getting into that territory that is full of hurtful words and actions. So that's why we want you to use the tool.
Yes, and you know what? We've all been there, and I'll kind of say it this way. Think of it like a graph. Like, it's a line graph where, you know, that y-axis, right? Let's say that represents your emotional level, right? From like 0 to 10. And let's say 9 is explosion point. And then that x-axis on the graph is time. So, you know, oftentimes we've all experienced this, the graph would show, if it's in an upward slope, it would show as time goes on, emotions go up, mm-hmm. right? So if after 8 minutes of a conversation, I'm at that 8 or 9 like explosion point, then doesn't it make sense that I would stop 2 minutes into the conversation? Because 2 minutes into the conversation, my emotional level is not even close to explosion point. So the key is being able to call love and respect, use that stop phrase early in the conversation, early when you notice that you're on the wrong bus, right?
Right. Now, if you have children in the house, just think of what an important lesson you could be teaching them, that you can manage your emotions in conflictual conversations. That will be so impactful.
Gosh.
And we will never tell you to hide conflict from your children. Mm-hmm. This is a healthy way of showing them that you can manage conflict between you and your spouse.
What a great point, Stuart. And you know what? It would also maybe there'd be merit with your children, since Stuart brought it up, to come up with a stop phrase that they could also own. So everybody's learning this emotional intelligence in the family, right?
Yeah. We so hope that this can help you, especially because we know that there are many families who frequently get to the shouting match stage in their conversation. So,
yes.
Yeah. We wish you the best with this.
So, you know, I want to go ahead and let's land the plane on this. But before we give you a call to action, I want to say one more little thing about my story of getting on that wrong bus. I had said that I you know, the bus driver let me out at the back door of the school, and I walk into the office that made that phone call a shame, right? You know, I want to tell you something about my mom. You know, she's not alive anymore, but I'll never forget that particular day. So I call her up and I let her know what happened, you know, and I'm crying. I'll never forget this. And I was like, Mom, I got on the wrong bus. And, you know, now I miss my bus and I need you to come pick me up. And I remember waiting for her to drive up in front of the school and get me. And just thinking, golly, she's going to really be upset with me and, you know, angry with me for not paying attention and so on and so forth. But I'll never forget how she greeted me. So she pulls up, I get in the car, and she had a Slurpee waiting for me from 7-Eleven.
That's like gold for you.
I know. It is gold. We don't have 7-Elevens where we live anymore here in Georgia. But whenever I go up north to Virginia and that kind of thing, I always make a point to stop and get a Slurpee. But I think about my mom, I'm telling you, because she communicated something to me that day. And this is another whole point, but I still want to bring it up because I think it's important in relationships. That when she picked me up and offered me a gift, she showed me grace. Like, yeah, I messed up that day. I got on the wrong bus. But she met me with grace, basically saying to me, son, you're allowed to mess up. And I just want you to know I love you. Let's go home.
That's a great part of the story. I never heard that part. That's great.
Yeah, well, it's true. And I appreciate my mom for that. So let's move on to the call to action.
Okay. So here's where we want you to start today. We, of course, have a conversation with your spouse about the benefit in your marriage of having a stop phrase, or get them to listen to the podcast, of course.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I think that kind of conversation really, really will be important, because that way both of you kind of buy into this, this idea of we need this tool to stop the bus. And then the second thing we want you to do is decide together on what that stop phrase could be. All right. Like, you can steal ours. We stole it, right?
Right.
Love and respect. I could care less if you said pink elephants, if that's your stop phrase, as long as it truly means stop and you both agree on it.
Oh, I might choose let's go to the beach. That might make me calm. All right. Number three, finally, have a conversation about your mutual commitment to honoring the rule to stop. That is so important that you understand that. And both of you just make a commitment to make that happen.
Yeah, like let's call it a sacred commitment.
Right.
Like this is one of those commitments above all other commitments that we are going to honor this stop phrase. Otherwise, you know what? Frankly, this is not going to bear fruit in your marriage. So those are your three calls to action, all right? Have a conversation about the importance of this with your spouse, the benefit of it, decide on the stop phrase, what it's going to be, and then talk about that mutual commitment to really honor that rule. So that's your call to action. But folks, we would also, again, we're going to say this a couple of times throughout our episodes because it's important. We want you to help us, right? And here's how you can do that. Really, it's helping future audiences. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, all right? It's Dr. David Anderson Impacting People. All right. That's both Instagram and Facebook. You'll get a daily dose of encouragement and tools, we believe, to live out God's best in marriage.
Yes, we really want to walk with you as we all try to navigate marriage. It's not good to do it alone.
That is so true. So remember to always drive the red truck in your marriage. Bye for now.